Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Summer's here, and it's time to bring the heat in a new Honda. Head out on an unforgettable adventure, or take a sporty sedan for a spin. All while driving with confidence. Check out the Civic, Accord, or HR-V during the Honda Summer Event.
See dealer for financing details.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 537, we're jumping into our fall season and we're welcoming to the show Tara Bremer.
Something I think about a lot is that we all have a story, and I don't believe that clutter exists in a vacuum, and it's not a moral issue. Clutter isn't like I'm bad or sinful or whatever. It's a problem to be solved, and it is solvable, but like the story influences that. Do we have elderly parents we're taking care of in our home? Do we have kids with ADHD off the rails? Do we travel a lot for work? Whatever these circumstances are, they all really matter.
Okay, we're back to our regularly scheduled episodes. Thank you for hanging with us through the summer of mentorship. That is super helpful to me as I have 4 teen boys home. And now, officially, as of today, everyone is in school. Let's give a little round of applause. Got 2 high schoolers, college, and a middle schooler. And this is the time when I can tackle projects that I was avoiding all summer, because summer is for fun and it's like trying to brush your teeth while eating Oreos. It doesn't make sense to declutter when everyone is home and making more messes. So I decided that heading into the beginning of this year, and I know some of you still have kids at home and some of you homeschool and some of you have little kids, but I really wanted to focus in on decluttering. And when I thought of the topic, I thought of my online friend. We've never met in real life, but I've stalked her from afar, Tara. She is a professional organizer. She owns a company called House Peace. And we're going to talk about what is the actual heart behind decluttering. Where do you even start when everything feels out of control? She's going to give practical tips for decluttering books, laundry, pantries, even the emotional side of clutter and why we hold on to things in stressful times. We're going to help our kids learn how to declutter and let go and manage clothes and organize their space. And then I get some tips for my own closet. Like, that's where I was like, I really, that's an area I keep avoiding. And if you are like me and your size fluctuates over the last few years, we get into that a little bit. So hopefully this is helpful for you. I know it always is for me. And once again, this is the Selfish Podcast. So you're welcome. All right, let's get right to it. Here we go. Tara, welcome finally to the Don't Mom Alone Podcast.
Heather, we did it. We finally connected.
I know. And y'all, I don't know if other people have this. Maybe it's just us, but I have internet friends that I've never met in real life, and we haven't even talked face to face until this moment.
That's right. That's right. But like, I'm like, are we friends? We know enough about each other.
I know about your kids. I've seen, you know, your work. I know you. Yes. And maybe y'all feel that way about other people, but I'm thrilled to finally get to chat with Tara and pick her brain selfishly. Once again, here I go with the Selfish Podcast. we're going to talk about decluttering, Tara, you have, is it a company? Is it an official company called House Peace?
Yes. So my business is called House Peace LLC, technically.
LLC.
Yes. I've been around since 2013, and we organize people's homes, offices, garages, basements. I've even done a warehouse before. That was really satisfying. But yeah, we're in a bunch of other cities, Atlanta, Nashville, New York, and Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay. So if someone doesn't live in one of those cities, could they still have you come help?
Absolutely. I am headed to Modesto, California on Sunday to help an Instagram follower. She wanted to hire me, and we're going to get a bunch of stuff done in her home. So I'm excited. Yeah, I travel all the time. And when I do gigs for other work that I do, like stage management or whatever, and I do travel, I usually try to book a job in that area. Like, I have enough of a social media following. It's not huge, but enough to where I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in, you know, Dallas. Does anybody want a job? And so then I can kind of, yeah, exactly. I can roll business in with other business and pleasure, you know.
So great. And I tell people when I do my Right Where You Belong talk, I'm like, do not discount your gift just because it comes easily to you. And for me, the gift of being able to bring order out of chaos, I don't have that gift. Mm-hmm. And so anyone who does, please do not diminish it. And obviously, Tara has not diminished her gift. She's capitalizing on it and using it across the great nation. But I mean, do you feel like this is something you could teach me? Or is this just something I am lacking and I just need to have you give me step by step on how to?
I 100% think that you can learn this. I'm self-taught. You know, like a lot of organizers go take these certifications and classes. I never did that. I just figured it out. I kind of grew up in a messy house, and I was super messy as a college student and a young married person. And then finally I was like, this sucks. Like, this doesn't feel good. I remember Dave walking in the house, my husband, when we were newly married, and he was like, hey, I really hate walking into this. And it was like a countertop just mounded with things. I'm like, you know what? You're right. That's terrible. So I kind of went on a journey, especially when I had kids, because I was like, things are chaotic. I don't know which end is up. I struggled having young kids. It just was a hard season for me. Like, with my kids being teens now, I'm like, this is the best. I love it so much.
That's good for people to hear, because I think I'm kind of like, oh, I miss the little years. I'm not a teen years are harder for me.
That's interesting. I think we all have like an age we prefer, and I'm living it right now, and I love it. Like, when people say, take me back to the little years, I'm like, please don't. No, I can't do it again. So yes, I do think you can learn, and we'll give you some strategies and things that you can't do. I'll give you strategies for that too.
Okay. So where would you start with a cluttered person?
Well, I would ask them first, like, what area is making you mad? What's making you rage in your house? Like, when you look at it, you're like, oh, I hate this so much, or this feels like more work. Like, I can't get to it. Or is it all of it?
I know the area, and I know it's multi-layered.
Okay.
It is my closet right now.
Oh, okay. What's going on?
And while I've had my colors done and my style done, and I know exactly what I should wear, I am not the size I want to be. So I feel like while I want to get rid of stuff that's not fitting me right now, I'm like, well, I might be that size soon. And so I hold on to stuff. And so it's just like, even the other day, and this has nothing to do with size, my feet are the same size, but my drawer that has underwear, bras, socks, total disaster. And I needed my Pilates socks to go to class, and I spent way too long looking for them. Like, 15 minutes looking for the Pilates socks, because I couldn't supplement with something else. I had to find a pair of sticky bottom.
You need the grippy socks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So would you say, okay, so whatever size you are, how many sizes off do you have on either side of your?
I don't even want to look at stuff.
Okay.
I rent clothes, and those clothes I put near the front of my closet because I know they're the size that I'm wearing right now. And I have a few things that are my size that are near the front. But everything else I just ignore.
I think I usually recommend if someone is actively trying to lose weight, because that's usually the struggle. Not that many people are like, I need to gain weight. Right, I have met a few because they're, you know, cancer survivors or whatever. But I usually say, like, if your weight fluctuates, I would not keep anything beyond like two sizes down or two sizes up. And to me, that's generous.
Maybe
for me,
one.
I would do one. And I think it would be important to ask yourself, like, am I moving towards that goal of being what size I want? Like, because if you can see the light, then no big deal. Keep holding on to it. But if you're like thinking, oh, maybe someday when I get, you know, this thing in order or my kids are older or whatever, I would say it's time to purge, because you are going to want to buy something new if you lose weight. And, you know, I gained a lot of weight when my third child came home. I'm not very tall, so it was 35 pounds was many sizes. I gained 35 pounds like that. And she's adopted, by the way. It was not pregnancy weight. Okay. It was stress weight.
But so when she came home, like, was it an international adoption or local?
International.
Domestic.
Yeah.
International.
And
okay.
So I have two boys who are currently 19 and 15, and then my daughter's 13. My sons are my biological children, and my daughter is my adoptive child. So there was no body wreckage from her.
Yeah.
It was just straight up stress.
Yeah.
Bringing home, first of all, just a third child. Second of all, a traumatized, you know, formerly institutionalized child.
And how old was she when she came? I know we're going way off track.
It all relates, because clutter isn't really about the clutter.
Right.
It's a story.
Right. Yes.
And so she was 19 months.
Okay.
So I want you to imagine a toddler.
Yeah.
That's who's never had parents. So anyway, it was stressful. I ate my feelings, and I was holding on to sizes that didn't fit anymore. And finally, I was just like, these are making me so mad when I see them in my closet. Like, I had this really cute long maxi skirt. It had this cool zigzag print on it, if you can imagine, 2013 or so. And I loved that skirt, and it was so flowy and comfortable. But every time I went in that closet and saw it, I was like, ugh, like, I had no plan. I had no plan to lose weight.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just like, I probably will, but all I can do is keep my head above water right now. So I gave them to a friend, and typically, like in house piece jobs, when we're decluttering someone's closet, I'm working with someone right now who's got massive amounts of clothing. And she's like, I want to send this to my mom. I want to give this to my cousin. And so we made a couple different piles, and then she was like, hey, I know I'm going to give this shirt to so-and-so who's on our team. They'll want this team shirt. And I said, listen, you can, but you're giving yourself a lot of chores right now. And so I typically recommend just do the thrift store when you're doing a massive excavation. You are blessing someone that you don't know, and that doesn't feel quite as good as giving it to someone who you know would enjoy it. But anyway, once I did lose the weight and I lost that baby weight, 35 pounds of adoption weight, in waves, I read a habit book. It wasn't even a diet. It's like a eating habit book. And so like I would revisit it about once a year and I would lose like 10 pounds. So it took me a few years to get back to where I wanted to be. And so 3 years.
Like the styles have changed. That's the thing, right?
They've changed. Yeah. And also whatever you think about fast fashion or any of that, like clothes are affordable. So And I don't have unlimited room to keep several, you know, four or five sizes. My closet is big, but it's not that big. Yeah. So I would say maybe grieve the fact if you need to, but also just be like, bye. I don't love you that much. Now, if it's like a special gown or, you know, something, hold on to that.
When planning your school year this year, one thing I don't want you to have to worry about is taking your kids to music lessons. Vogtberg Music Academy gets you 30 minutes of free time instead of adding one more thing to your to-do list. And it will leave your children begging to play their instrument more. Students are self-motivated because they can earn badges that are mailed to their doorstep. They can participate in monthly online student showcase, And they can see dozens of other students play with their siblings and friends in the Voteburg Music Academy community. At Voteburg Music Academy, you aren't on your own. Each student has 24/7 access to their instructor. They receive personalized feedback on live coaching calls, which allow the students to learn faster and easier. And this school year, the first 200 people to use my code DON'TMOMALONE, all caps, will get 20% off their first month. Join thousands of other Christian families learning to play together with the leader of online music lessons, VoteburgMusicAcademy.com. Let me spell it for you, VoeTBerg Music Academy. And there's a link in the show notes. With beginner, intermediate, and advanced piano, ukulele, fiddle, and guitar courses, Voteburg Music Academy is your one-stop shop, from your family first, unboxing your instruments, to playing for worship, writing music, or playing in a family band. The Voteburg family loves playing music together, and they want to help you bring the gift of music into your home in an affordable, efficient, and family-centered way. Again, this month, the first 200 families to use my code DON'TMOMALONE, all caps, will get 20% off an encounter with the proprietary Voteburg Method experience, where siblings can share lessons and learn music in a way they'll never forget, even when the lessons stop. Okay, but here I'm going to get real, real, real practical.
Let's go.
What overwhelms me is, in my mind, I need to take every single thing out of the closet and put it in a different room and only bring back the things that I want to keep. And that feels like I need time and space and not being interrupted for hours so that I finish it. Because if I put it all on my bed, I'm going to need to go to bed at some point.
Right.
So this gets, yes, this is where I get tripped up, especially in this season, like end of school years, where when we're recording this. So I don't have, like, I don't have time right now. I've got like random noon pickups from finals and anyway.
We've got awards days and
random stuff. But
band concerts. Yes.
Am I wrong to think that I need to do it in one fell swoop and it's gonna take a big chunk of time? Like, is that a fallacy that people have about decluttering? Because that's what it feels like. Like, these jobs feel overwhelming.
I think if you're doing it yourself, by yourself, maybe don't do that. Maybe do a section. Like, most closets have sections, right? You got a long hang section. You've got, you know, a section for shirts and pants and skirts. Like, maybe just take one, take all those, lay them on the bed, look at them one by one. Like, don't try to declutter with the stuff in place, because you'll be like, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. But when you really look at that piece, then you can be a little bit more honest. You're a little more brutal that way. Mm-hmm. So take all your long hang out and do that in a day. And yeah, set a timer, like set an alarm for 2 hours. I don't think you need 2 hours, but if you think you're going to get distracted, put your phone on do not disturb. Tell your husband if he works from home, like if the kids are there, like, I'm not available currently. You can see my face, but this face is not available. that is a real problem. And I don't know if it's a mom thing or just a person thing, but I'm like, or, you know, work from home. I'm like, I know it looks like I'm just sitting here scrolling. I'm working. I'm not available. So you kind of have to tell people. Now, alternatively, I talk about this a lot. Alternatively, you could get a friend and do what's called body doubling, if you're familiar with that term. So it's an ADHD strategy that I think works really well with decluttering for people who either can't or don't want to hire someone. Get a girlfriend, someone who you really trust, someone who's your yes and girl, who loves you, not your husband, not your sister, your mom, and say, hey, can you come over from 9 to noon on Thursday and help me declutter my closet? And really, she doesn't even have to do much. I mean, I guess she could help you carry the stuff out to your bed or whatever. But you're the one still looking at things, but somehow having that accountability, it's the power of the appointment. You've made an appointment with her and with you. You're going to make a lovely coffee and maybe put on some music, and you're going to go through your stuff. Maybe she can rehang things for you. You're going to get those matching hangers, because I know you would love that if you don't have that already. And so she can rehang and y'all can sort and put them all back. And you will be shocked at how much you get done in 3 hours. Now, my client I'm working with right now in her closet, it is not 3 hours. There were two of us working for, I think we did 7.5 hours earlier this week. And then we're going to go do, meaning that's 15 hours of labor. And we're going to go back tomorrow for 6 hours of labor. It's just, she owns a boutique. She's a clothes girl. So, and she just hasn't done this. She's decluttering like a boss, but like she needs us to keep her on task and to do that manual stuff and kind of talk her through some of the psychology stuff. Like what about this size thing or, you know, whatever.
Okay. Body doubling. What's your tip so that like I feel I'm realizing, oh, wait, I've done that with a friend. Now, maybe it was pre-COVID. So that's now 6 years.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. But like, do you have tips for once you've done it, how to maintain it so that you don't find yourself back
where you are? Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
I definitely think matching hangers is a huge deal and don't buy more.
Don't buy more hangers?
Yeah. Like hang everything that you own, like maybe do all your laundry so you know everything's clean. Have like 5 extra hangers and then the rest put up or give away or whatever. I'll never forget one of my sons, my oldest. He's like, Mom, I'm out of hangers. I need more hangers. I'm like, no, son, you need fewer shirts. I'm sorry. No person needs 40 shirts. Okay. And now someone's going to come back at me and be like, I do this. I'm like, fine. That's fine. Fashion's your thing. Events are your thing. Then yes, you probably need 40 shirts, but no teenage child needs 40 t-shirts. They don't. So I would just not buy more hangers. But like my concept of maintaining is called chaos resilience. The chaos, it may come. It will come, especially as mothers and just humans in the world. And just know that you don't have to get overwhelmed by it. You just know, okay, we've got the chaos. We're going to be resilient from this, but it's not today. It'll be when I have some more margin and maybe just schedule a time to maintain. So
when you're not buying the more hangers, then when you do buy a dress or a shirt, something has to go.
Right. Right.
So you make that decision in that moment.
Yeah. Like a lot of this is a shopping decision. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily what's happening at home. And like if you do have an organized closet, so say you declutter your closet, your inventory is where you want it to be. You're going to hang all your black pants together or fold them or whatever you do. But all your black pants are going to be together, all your white tops, all like whatever. And so then you will have a better visual memory inventory of what you have. So that when you are out shopping, you're like, look at this cute white shirt. And then you're like, oh yeah, I have a lot of white shirts. I don't need this one. This one's not that special. Or maybe you like it better than some of what you have. So you can bring it home and get rid of something else.
And notice like, oh, I'm going to reach for this cardigan. I don't own a cardigan. I've had that before where I'm like, what I really need right now is this thing. And I don't write it down.
Mm.
So I'm always like, I really need this one thing. And I never
I know. Maybe keep a little clipboard in the closet or something.
Clipboard in the closet.
Yeah. Like, have you seen those like inventories like all out of? It's like a grocery shopping thing and you can check off. You can have one like that. Like, I'm all out of, like, I don't have any camisoles. I need camisoles.
Why do I not have this? Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. So that's my closet situation. So you're saying if there's a area of your house that you're like, this is making me mad, focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other areas that you find people come to you for support or help?
We do a lot of closets, but we also do a lot of pantries.
Pantries, yes. Uh-huh. My really good friend Catherine helped me with my pantry years and years ago. And I mean, I'm pretty good at maintaining that because she did all these great labels on things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So labels are a big deal for maintenance because humans are forgetful. This is why we have to go to church every Sunday, because we forget.
That's right. Yes. That's why I tell my kids. Yes. I'm like, I don't remember stuff. I need reminders.
Right.
Jesus is good. Okay. Okay.
Got it. So we need a reminder of what we decided. We decided that potatoes were going to go here. But like, maybe you ran out of potatoes. Maybe you didn't buy potatoes the next time and then you forget and then it's just a disaster. So we need to have a label for the potatoes. Again, a lot of this is inventory management, which is a shopping issue. if you have an organized pantry, you will buy less because you know what you have. Unfortunately for me, my pantry got out of control this spring, mostly because I had my children unload all of our groceries, not to throw them under the bus. Like, they can all organize. If I said, hey, organize the pantry, they would do a good job. But like, if we're just throwing groceries up there, So guess what I have in my pantry currently? It makes me so mad. I have 6 cans of tomato sauce. 6. I don't even know. What do I use tomato sauce for? Why did I buy this? It must have been something specific.
Not even like tomato, like spaghetti sauce, like you would add to pasta. Okay. Straight tomato up tomato sauce.
Sauce. I think it was for a recipe, and then I forgot that I already bought for that recipe. I don't even know. So all that to say, that's annoying, and I will probably donate 4 of those cans to the food pantry because it's just taking up space. So, and we don't want that because then food's going to go bad. It's going to go stale. I mean, man, I did a pantry recently for a bachelor. Well, he's not a bachelor. He's single dad. And he was trying to get ready to move. And so I was getting his pantry picture perfect. And it's so fun. He wasn't there. It was so fun to like guess what his life is like. Like, I never actually met him. He just paid me through, you know, online means or whatever. So like, I found lots of beautiful bread, like proofing. I don't know, what do you call those? Like a proofing basket and like
when you're baking your own bread.
Yes, when you're baking your bread. And I found all kinds of different flours and specialty like gluten-free flours. And I was like, okay, let's look at these. And they all expired in 2021. And I was like, homie did bread baking during COVID. Like so many of us.
You're like a little investigator.
Yeah. I was like, that's cool. But also it didn't last and these things have gone bad and they've just, not that they're bad, but they're expired and they're taking up room and you're not using them. So I look at expired food as an indication of we just don't use that. You know, like someone's like, oh, it's still good. Like the can isn't destroyed. I'm like, yeah, but you don't use coconut milk. This is what this is telling you.
So pay attention, like if you do go through your pantry, to what is expiring and maybe I need to go on the do not buy list.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't – this is not how you cook.
Yeah. Okay. What other tips do you have for us, Tara, in general, or you can stay with the pantry theme?
Do you have any other rage areas in your house? I like making it personal. I don't know if you like it, but
– I don't know if you have a solution for this. And it's not going to help other people probably. But I do have – I get sent a lot of books for people that want to be on the podcast. I don't know. I took a big bin of them to Half Price Books, which turned out to actually be kind of profitable, especially
really?
Since I didn't buy any of them because they were brand new. They weren't even
– cracked open.
Yeah, because I get like 3 or 4 copies sometimes of the same book.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, okay. So one thing I don't know, we have put our boys in charge of their laundry and they have their own, like in the laundry room, it's a sorter, but each boy gets a section of the sorter and does their load, wash dry, and it goes in a basket. What I'm finding is that the basket is not getting unloaded, folded, but that's not my problem. But I think when I see it, I'm like, what have I done wrong as a mom that they don't put their clothes away?
No. See, you know what that is? That's like a saboteur in your head saying this, that you've made some sort of mistake. We're still learning. We're still growing. The kids are. We are. We do the exact same thing. So I have 3 kids and we have a 3 laundry sorter. It's got the bags. Is that what yours is?
Mm-hmm.
And so each kid gets a bag. And when it gets full, allegedly. Meaning usually it's over full and overflowing.
Or they need something that's in it.
Or they – yeah. God, yes.
Especially if they have uniforms.
Yeah. Disgusting, guys. I don't know what you're doing here. But anyway, they will then go do their laundry. And sometimes they'll need a nudge, be like, hey, this is unmanageable. Please go do your laundry. But usually they're pretty good about doing it themselves. We own 1 laundry basket. Like – you know, freestanding, that's not the bags. That laundry basket is specific for clean laundry coming out of the dryer and taking it to wherever it belongs, my closet, their closet, whoever. And it gets dumped and taken back to the laundry room. Now, does that always happen? No. But because we only have one laundry basket, it's a signal. When I can't find it, it's a signal that somebody has it, obviously, and that they need to get on their laundry. And I'll usually just go get it. But also recently, started yesterday, I started texting my kids little self-made memes where I'll have to send you some screenshots, but I'll share one with you. Because what I do is I see things around the house, say like the laundry basket, and I'm like, ugh, like that feels like that's that unseen labor, that mental load of like, oh, I gotta do this. And so I need to start passing that load to my kids more often. So I texted them yesterday, like, here's a picture. It's a picture of my daughter's school bag in the middle of our dining table. This is while I was trying to get ready for dinner. And so I texted that picture to the group, meaning my kids and me. Mm-hmm. And I said, Mom, colon, quote, what do we do when we bring things into the house? Child, colon, we set it in the middle of the table. Mom, no. And so I've been redoing that format. Like, someone left a smooth, like a blender thing out. Somebody left tissues and a used Band-Aid out, okay? Like, do y'all know that I see all of this and it's a personal affront to me? I'm like, you have left this for me, but they don't know that. They don't look at it that way. Yeah. But like, I need to start letting them know.
Like, this is how I'm perceiving living with you, because they will have roommates. I don't know if your son at Purdue had a roommate, but.
Yes, he does. And they've had to like work a lot of things out. And it's interesting because when he came back from school just a couple weeks ago, he sees things now.
Yeah.
He will like do dishes because they need to be done and no one's doing them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is growing up. Mm-hmm. So that's been good. So what was my point? See, I went on this bunny trail. Oh, the laundry basket. This is not about you being a good mom or a bad mom.
Yeah.
Oh, and also I want to go back to the books, the advanced reader copies. Is that what they're called? Mm-hmm. Do you have a little free library in your neighborhood or anything?
Yeah. I have a really good friend who lives in the next street over, and I've given her boxes of them too. But I mean,
yeah, that's cool.
Her little free library is only so big. So
I love the idea of you, getting some money for them. Our used bookstore here.
Yeah.
You get pennies. I'll bring like 40 books in and get like $11.
I got a good check. Good. I've done it before where I've like left a bin out front, like free books, like when it's nice weather and like I see people out walking. It's my ministry to the neighborhood. But it just, I think that can make me feel a little crazy as far as clutter.
Yeah, I think you can look at it as a pipeline. It's mm-hmm. coming in and it's got to go out. So
as long as you have a plan for things.
Yeah.
One thing as I get older that I'm buying more of and not decluttering is skincare products. And y'all know me, I'm on this clean product hunt. I am looking for products that stay true to being cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free. They don't compromise on those areas. They don't use harsh chemicals and they work. And so I'm really thankful that Go Pure is a sponsor of this podcast. And I'll just tell you, when I was younger, I didn't do a great job taking care of my skin, particularly my neck, okay? I don't know. I just wasn't even thinking that that would be an area that would need attention. And so I love that Go Pure specifically has a tighten and lift neck cream. It is perfect to add to your skin routine. It is designed to visibly smooth and firm and rejuvenate this really delicate skin that's on my neck and chest. And it can work in as little as 4 to 8 weeks. And because your neck skin is thinner and more delicate and less oily, that's why it needs all the extra attention, especially after the summer heat and sun we've been through. With Go Pure, it targets those specific concerns on your neck and also nourishes it and strengthens it. I'm really sad when I run out, because it just feels really good on my neck after a long day. And I'm not just the only one. That Go Pure, it over-delivers on value. It has over 100,000 real women with real results and over 1 million jars sold. So this beauty secret is no longer a secret. For a limited time, our listeners get 25% off GoPure with the code DMA at checkout. Just head to GoPureBeauty.com, use the code DMA, and you're all set. So that's GoPureBeauty.com, use the code DMA, and you're all set. And after you buy, do us a favor. When they ask where you heard about GoPure, tell them it was from our show. This podcast is also sponsored by Active Skin Repair. It's a skin health company that helps people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Now, how this differs. How I use Active Skin Repair is with having four teenage boys, there's always some random injury. There's always something that needs attention, whether it is sunburn, because teenage boys don't like to use sunscreen, whether it is a scrape or a cut. I am constantly grabbing the Active Skin Repair because I will either spray. I have the spray version and I have the gel version. I love both for different reasons. I'll either spray it or I'll put the gel on and maybe put a Band-Aid on top. And I know that with Active Skin Repair, they have a special molecule in there called hypochlorous acid. I know that sounds like it would burn. It doesn't. It does the opposite. When you apply it to the skin, the molecule mimics the natural immune response, and it cleanses, it soothes the irritation, it reduces the inflammation, and it helps support healing. I'm telling you, if I'm around my friends and their kids have something going on their bodies, I'm like, you need Active Skin Repair. Let me go find it. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean, they can be used on the youngest member of the family to the oldest. Make sure you have this one simple solution for all your family's skin health needs, because for you moms of young kids, even diaper rash, okay? Go visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair. And to get 20% off your order, use the code DMA. There's a special link in our show notes. That's activeskinrepair.com, and the code to get 20% off is DMA. I know people can feel overwhelmed when we go back to the clothes with growing kids. What is your tip for a mom who has kids that maybe they can pass from one kid to the next, but that whole concept of like they're constantly growing, you're constantly moving clothes in and out of
yes. And I, when I was a younger mom, maybe it's still this way, I don't know. I really felt like, wow, I am managing my household. I am doing good things by saving these hand-me-downs or, you know, whatever. But it is a gamble. For you to save all the clothes, your child would have to be born in the same season, same sex, same geographic location. So my oldest was born in upstate New York in September, and he's a boy. And then my middle was born by happenstance. It also happened to be in September, but we lived in Alabama then. And all of my oldest child's clothes were like lined, like heavy winter, and they were just completely inappropriate. But like once my middle got to be a certain age, he did not want to wear those same clothes. He was more like athletic clothes and, you know, soccer jerseys. And so after a while, I only saved things like jeans. And even then, my middle doesn't really wear a lot of jeans, at least not during that season. So I just feel like stuff like that will come around. If you can find someone who you can pass hand-me-downs to at certain stages, I would recommend it. Like if you know you're going to bang kids out every like 2 years and you're not moving, it's still a gamble. But yeah, save the baby stuff, of course.
Well, and I found that really clothes, certain brands didn't last. Even Gap, like pajamas, the elastic would go out by the third kid. And I did have boys all born in the summer. And so it worked out for me a lot of the time. I think where I struggled too was like, how frequently do you need to be going and purging and making sure? It feels like this never-ending job when they're constantly growing.
Well, it is never-ending. Back to the pipeline. It's just –
like
it's
when
not
you see
stop.
Something's too small, do you like immediately deal with it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. If it's too small – or the kids see, okay, so sometimes I talk to seniors in high school. We have this like adult day at the high school. And I'm like, when you pull something out of your closet that either stained or ripped or doesn't fit, raise your hand if you throw it back in there. And they're like, yeah. So we need to empower our kids, even as young as like 10, I don't know. When you find something that doesn't fit you anymore, come bring it to mom. And like I personally have a bag or a box in my pantry. I have a good sized pantry that is for the thrift store. So anytime I'm putting a dish in there or, you know, whatever, it's all mixed in. It might be clothes. And then once I get a couple bags full, I'll run it to the donation drop off. I have a donation drop off.
It doesn't sit in your car for months?
No.
Like mine?
No. No. Here's how you get around that. You put it on your front seat. Because then you're like reminded. That's the visual cue. So when you talk about habit building, the first thing you need is a cue. Oh, right. It's there. And then that prompts your behavior. Your behavior is to go donate. And the reward is your car is clear and so is your closet. So it feels like you're lighter and airier.
Like all those Amazon returns that are in the back.
Yes. Yes. I put my Amazon returns in the front too. Or if I have to, I'll put it in the, you know, the middle area. Like right now, the middle section of my car is full of Amazon returns because we're a little behind.
It's a busy season. Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Any other, like when you do jobs, like decluttering jobs, do you see consistently this is something people struggle with? Is it like paper? Is it memory stuff? I feel like memory stuff for me can be overwhelming.
Yeah, it really depends on the person. It's very interesting to me. I mean, I'm endlessly fascinated by my clients because you'll see some people, it is paper. I had one lady who donates to a lot of charities and she would get, you know, the free return address labels and the little note cards and stuff. I'm talking pounds and pounds and pounds of this stuff. That's what she struggled with. I've never seen that in anybody else's house before. But I think she in her head was like, oh, this is useful. This is useful.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah. And so she would set it aside, but she just didn't realize she set it aside everywhere. So when we're organizing and bring it all in one spot, she's like, oh gosh, get rid of that. So what else do I see? I do see people struggle with clothes. We do see a lot of new with tags things in people's homes. So to me, that's a shopping problem because if they needed it, they would have worn it. Why is it in here new? Again, some people it's the expired foods. Some people it's skincare. I have a client who we're going to get to her skincare eventually and the makeup. And I get it. This woman is, she's an events person. She, you know, is on a lot of video and she's just forward facing all the time. And that's kind of her deal, but there's no way she's using all this. We just need to go through it.
What's the rule on getting rid of skincare and makeup stuff? Like what's the timestamp if it's not on the actual
product? Well, a lot of times it'll be on the bottle, that little jar, it'll say 12 months, once it's been open for 12 months.
It'll tell months. You.
Uh-huh. I wish I had something in here to show you. I don't. But anyway, it'll say. So if something's been open 6 months, 12 months, whatever it is, toss. And also you know what you like. Like we try something and then we're like, shoot, I hate this thing. And then we put it back. And then maybe we'll try it again. And that's fine. Try it again.
I think in my mind, I'm like, well, when I run out of the one I like, at least I have this backup one.
Yeah. And I get that. I've done this a couple times. This is so fun. Sometimes I'll do with my friends, like I call it a chemical swap. And it's like, bring your foundation that didn't match. Bring your hairspray you did not love or the shampoo that you thought would be good for your hair texture, but turns out it's going to be better for curly texture. Like
not bad products, but just products that didn't like, work for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And because it's with your friends, you know that they didn't like spit in it or something.
It's not ruined.
Yeah. Right. But like no one on Facebook really wants that. So
I've done that with jewelry. Like at Christmas time when you're wanting to give your friends something, but you're like, oh man, I also, you know, don't need more stuff. It's like bring jewelry that is good, but you just don't find yourself wearing it anymore.
I love that.
Put it all in like a white elephant. You draw numbers or even home decor. Like if it's like a nice vase or it's a nice cute thing.
It's an opportunity to connect with your friends and to be generous and to like serve ourselves by getting rid of stuff.
More money at a time.
Absolutely.
I was going to bring that up in our last couple of minutes is I don't know if people feel this, but I feel like my cluttering issues are worse when we're in seasons of financial stress. Like I'm less likely to get rid of stuff because what if I can't replace it financially? You know, It's not like if I have a need, why would I get rid of something? Like, I don't know if it was my mother-in-law or my grandma, I remember would save used aluminum foil because they came from the time of the Depression era. And it's like,
that's right.
Why would we throw away? This is good aluminum foil.
Right. Like my parents keep twisty ties.
Yeah.
And that is just holdover as baby boomers. I get it. Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to experience some of that with economically right now.
We might. And some people are going to feel that more than others. But for your audience, I would have them like really examine their spending and really say, is it true that I need to hold on to this thing just in case? Or am I just worried? Like, are there areas that I can cut back on so that I don't have to hoard this one thing or whatever?
Stop being Amazon influenced.
I mean,
clicking on my little links that I'm sharing.
Yeah, I know. It's such a catch 22. I share links too. And I'm like, well, don't buy it if you don't need it. But I think too, like the just in case items, there's these guys, these writers called the Minimalists.
Yeah.
And they have a just-in-case rule. It's called the 20-20 rule. If it takes you less than 20 minutes and less than $20 to replace a just-in-case item, get rid of it. And like 99% of the time, you won't miss it.
Okay. Say it again.
If it'll take you less than 20 minutes for less than $20 to replace this thing. Like, because we're saving stupid stuff. I'm a seamstress. So we hoard things like elastic. And it's like, this is a good piece of elastic. Well, it is, but it will cost you $3 at Publix. Like you can get it so easily. It's not a big deal. And then turns out you probably actually aren't going to need it because if you needed it, you would have used it already.
Mm-hmm. And my experience with elastic is it goes bad.
Yeah, it does go bad. It absolutely does.
Yeah. Okay. So less than 20 minutes to replace, less than $20.
Right.
Get rid of it. Oh my goodness. Tara, anything else? You got a couple more minutes. You're like, oh, I'm going to talk to Heather. I really want to make sure I say this. What were you thinking about before our interview?
Something I think about a lot is that we all have a story. And I don't believe that clutter exists in a vacuum. And it's not a moral issue. Clutter isn't like I'm bad or sinful or whatever. It's a problem to be solved. And it is solvable. But like the story influences that. Do we have elderly parents we're taking care of in our home? Do we have kids with ADHD off the rails? Do we travel a lot for work? Whatever these circumstances are, they all really matter. So once I like to do a list of like, here's things I do. Here's things I don't do. I don't volunteer in the classroom. But you know what I do? I go on 5-day long band trips as a chaperone. So
which
I don't need to. Girl, we went to San Antonio 2 weeks ago.
with the bus breaking down a couple times. Like, always. I don't know, Tara. We might need to get you in a counselor or something. That seems.
I know. But see, like, everybody's got their thing.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time relating to that. That would be, but that's exactly your point. Like some people, it's not. Everything is not everybody's thing.
It is. And so like acknowledging that those stories and preferences and whatever influence what is happening in our house, it helps me to have a lot more grace and for myself and for others. So I think knowing ourselves is a huge deal, knowing our circumstances as well.
Well, and what I heard you saying too is the clutter is telling a story.
Yes.
So as we are going through the process, whether it's when kids are back in school or it's over the summer or whenever it is, whenever you make space for that, if that's causing you stress right now, pay attention to what you're getting rid of a lot of.
Yes.
Pay attention. What is that communicating to you? Whether it is a shopping problem, whether it is I need this. I don't know. What is it communicating? That's a really good thing to keep in mind.
What story are my things telling me? I don't know how to say that sentence. I think my brain is broken. What are my things telling me? What story are my things telling me? Yeah. So, and I think people do have that like just in case or like sunk cost fallacy. Like, oh my gosh, but I bought these Lululemon bras. They're good bras. And it's like, right, that's fine. But you don't wear them because they have tags on them and they don't make that color anymore. So I actually know that, you know, these are old or whatever. And then we can be more aware, because a lot of times, like with house piece jobs, people don't want to really go through this again, and they're not going to. Having someone come in and do that big excavation with you is a moment in time. It's a big marker, and you learn so much. And it doesn't mean you're going to keep doing that. You're not going to keep buying the Lululemon bras, probably, because you went through kind of a lot of pain to bring us in, pay us, take time off of work, you know, whatever.
Do you take note of that story and communicate that to them? Like, hey, I noticed that, or does that feel like you don't want to be shaming?
No, definitely don't want to be shaming, but I might be like, girl, you like bras, you know, like, cause it feels like a friendship. I mean, obviously it's a business relationship, but like we are in their things.
Like that's the fear of bringing someone else in is like, oh my gosh, they're going to see my issues.
We see it all. And by the time that we do get in, people, they might care a little, but they've invested enough to where they're like, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. And I'm like, listen to me. I have seen it all. When we're off mic, I'll tell you a couple things I've seen in like everybody's house. But
it's kind of like the doctor, like when you're terrified to go, they're going to see all your private parts and you're going to be all vulnerable and out there. And it's like, seriously, I've seen it all. Like,
exactly.
I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to be shocked.
I'm the OBGYN for your house.
isn't a private I haven't seen. They're all, you've seen one private, you've seen them all. Yeah.
You've seen them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, I think you need to also write a really cool novel. There's cool novel to be written about a decluttering service and the stories that people stuff tell. Anyway.
I'll send you the advanced reader copy.
Thanks, too. All right.
I'll read it and get rid of it.
Check out in the show notes House Peace and follow Tara online and learn from her and her amazingness and her little tips along the way. Thank you, Tara, for joining me.
Thank you, Heather. This was so fun.
So fun. Okay. I know stuff doesn't seem spiritual and it feels weird to pray for us, but I honestly think like Tara said, these things hold emotional connections and they reveal that there's more going on in us. And whether that is overwhelm in other areas of our life or it is a connection to the stuff itself that we need to work through, I'm going to pray over that and that the Lord would help reveal to us what he needs to work on in our hearts. So here we go. Lord, you have us in different spaces and different seasons and different circumstances. And Lord, we need your guidance. Help us to know how to walk through these times. Help make us aware of what's going on in our hearts and our minds. What's distracting us? What are we holding on to for security that's not you? Help us to confess those things and hand them back over. Lord, if someone right now is walking through just an overwhelming, challenging stage, whether it's with their own parents, with their kids, with their marriage, with their job, with their finances, Lord, we pray just supernatural peace to fall upon them right now in this moment, that they would feel your presence, that they would just take this few minutes or seconds to feel your love and your care over their soul. I pray, Lord, that it would sink in and that they could feel rejuvenated just in this few seconds, Lord. I pray that you would give them the strength and the wisdom for whatever it is that they're facing today in the next hour. We know you guide us. We know that your spirit is alive and well in us. And we pray, God, that we would turn to you more when life feels overwhelming. And things feel overwhelming, and circumstances feel overwhelming, that we would come to you, and that you would bring clarity, and that you would bring order. And I pray also, Lord, that we would reach out to just one or two other people and invite them into our mess, whether it is our actual cluttered mess, or it is just our emotional mess, or it is our lives are just in a place of chaos, that we could invite others in and receive their love and their support and their help. And if someone says, oh, well, I don't have anybody, Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes to see who is there, who is available, may not be the most ideal person in their mind, but Lord, you work through everyone. And may we not limit who that is. I thank you and praise you for all that you've given us. I thank you that we do get to be stewards of things, and I pray that we would do the best that we can in that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm amazed. There were like some uniforms that I had in the closet that my boys never wore, and a couple of the shorts I was able to take back and get credit towards this year's uniforms, and then some football clothes that were never worn that I put on Facebook, and some moms were like, oh, I'll take them. And just me realizing like a little bit of effort, a little bit of focus, and a little bit of time, I helped our family's financial situation, and I helped someone else who needed something. So just saw the ripple effects of how I put a little attention towards this, and I can see it becomes its own little ministry. Anywho, thank you for joining me today, and Tara, and I hope you go check out House Peace. Join me next week. I had an amazing conversation with Hosanna Wong. Oh my gosh, I've wanted to interview her forever, and I just really loved the time we got to spend together. So I'll see you back here next week. Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.